You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up later, we'll hear from a Wisconsin guest who attended last Friday's annual rally against abortion in Washington, D.C. She'll talk about the Wisconsin presence at the event and the future of the anti-abortion movement here and beyond.
First, in some ways, 2016 was the year of anti-establishment politics in the United States, especially in the presidential elections. On the Democratic side, Bernie Sanders sustained an unexpectedly strong campaign against Hillary Clinton. On the Republican side, anti-establishment feeling helped Donald Trump defeat a big field of opponents on his way to his Electoral College victory in November.
But what's behind voter discontent with the status quo? In a survey released in November by the group Voice of the People, a strong majority said that the federal government serves a few big interests more than it serves the people, and that big donors and political parties have more sway than everyday voters.
Our next guest is hoping to bridge this perceived gap between the American public and elected officials, in part by creating a citizens' cabinet in each congressional district to bring people together with their representatives. Stephen Kull joins us now. He's founder and president of Voice of the People. He's a political psychologist and director of the Program for Public Consultation at the School of Public Policy at the University of Maryland. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I mentioned that survey you put out there, a major bipartisan agreement that people felt like their voices weren't being heard by the federal government. Can you share some of your findings?
Yeah, it's really an overwhelming result. For example, we asked the question, would you say the government is pretty much run by a few big interests looking out for themselves, or that it is run for the benefit of all the people? More than 90% said that it is run by a few big interests looking out for themselves. And this was very bipartisan, overwhelming majorities of both Republicans and Democrats. And while this view has been back in the 60s, only a minority of people had this view. It's been on the rise, and for a while now has been 8 in 10, but this time we did it, it jumped above 90% for the first time.
And was this part of the appeal of Bernie Sanders and especially Donald Trump?
Very much. Both of them spoke to this concern. The theme that government ignores the people, and both of them basically said, I am going to listen to you. And this was reiterated in Trump's inaugural speech, where he said that the power in Washington is going to be given back to the people. This is the day that the people became the rulers of this nation again. He was making these statements throughout. His pitch went, you think that government is for sale, that rich people can buy politicians, corporations can buy politicians. Well, you're right. I know. I've been doing it for years. But you see, now I'm so rich, nobody can buy me. And that was a very effective pitch to the people. And we found in this study that we did, what was driving Trump supporters wasn't so much anything about his ideological positions, but the sense that he was different, that he was actually independent of the political system. And the fact that he was criticized by elites on both sides of the, liberal and conservative, Republican and Democrat, he just pointed that and said, see, this is proof that I'm independent of the system, so you can take a chance with me and try something new.
Are we getting to a point where, with these doubts about who is being represented, that people are questioning the legitimacy of our form of representative government, maybe the idea of representative government?
The idea of democracy is still as strong as ever. The people feel like there's the principle that the will of the people should govern, and the process of elections and all that is truly supported throughout the country. There's really no counter view on that. But the perception is that the system has really been effectively corrupted, and that elected officials do not listen to the people. They are not influenced by the people. They're influenced by special interests, by the wealthy, by campaign donors, and by the political parties working for their interests rather than the interests of the people. And that, yes, that puts the legitimacy of the system at risk, you might say. There's a kind of social contract that people learn as children that government, you in a sense give the power to the government, but the government makes a commitment to represent the people and serve the common good of the people and to be responsive to the people's will. And the perception is that this is not what is happening, and this is the source of anger at the government, and is something that Trump is effectively able to capitalize on.
Talking to Steve Call from the group Voice of the People. And Steve, one of the ways you've been working to try to bridge that gap is with the idea you've been promoting, a citizen's cabinet. Tell us how this would work. One in each congressional district, right?
Right. Well, the idea is that to give the people a greater voice. Now, a lot of the decisions that government makes are the people. I mean, you can do polls, and that can be helpful, but there are a lot of issues where people don't have enough information. And sometimes when you use standard polls, you can say, well, you know, do you want to reduce the deficit? Yeah, that'd be good. Do you want to raise taxes? Do I want to raise taxes? Oh, I'd rather not. Do you want to cut spending in these areas? These areas? Oh, I'd rather not. And all of those are rational and consistent. In understandable positions, but when they're all added up, you know, politicians can go, oh, well, the people are just a big baby. They can't cope with these complex issues. So we have developed a method that we call a policymaking simulation, where we take people through a process that tries to put them in the shoes of a policymaker. So they get a briefing on the issue. They're presented policy options. They hear pro and con arguments on the issue, and then ultimately they make their recommendations. And often they do it in a way where they have to deal with trade-offs, like going back to what I was saying about the budget. They say, okay, here's how we're spending the money. Here are the sources of revenues. Everything's broken out in some detail. And up here is the deficit. And this is done online with a representative sample. And then people propose their budget, but they're getting feedback as they go along on the impact on the deficit. And in that context, actually, people cut the deficit quite a lot. The majority cut it a few $100 billion. So people are able to deal with these issues and give meaningful input. We did one on Social Security recently, and 3/4 of Republicans and Democrats agreed on steps to eliminate most of the Social Security shortfall. That's the amount of money that the Social Security system needs to keep giving out the benefits at the current levels.
So you're doing these simulations online now, but you're hoping to formalize this a little bit more with this citizen's cabinet idea, right? How would you pull those people together?
Right. Thanks for prompting me along there. The idea then is to get a representative sample in every congressional district and state who will go through these policymaking simulations and give members of Congress, their elected officials, input, recommendations about what they should do on the important issues that they're facing. And if we were to have that fully built out, there would be over 100,000 people nationwide going through these processes. Now, we've gotten started doing it. It's a kind of demonstration project, hoping that it will grow. And we've done these policymaking simulation surveys with about 8,000 people and with samples of over 400 in 8 major states. And what's really striking is how much consensus there is between the really conservative and really liberal states. They do come to a lot of very similar conclusions, and they do solve a lot of key problems.
Right, yeah. I would think that if I went out and randomly selected a bunch of people, I'd have some people really on one extreme, one on another extreme. There wouldn't be a lot of agreement. What is it about this process that lets people maybe set aside some of those partisan assumptions and agree on some stuff?
Well, it turns out when people reason things through and they see the trade-offs, most Americans don't want to simply choose one side or the other. Most if you plot Americans on a left-right spectrum. You don't have a bunch on the left and a bunch on the right. You have more of a normal curve where there's a much more of a clustering around the middle, and people say, you know, I want to find the right balance between the values of the left and the right. And we try to give them the tools so that they can find what they think is the right balance. And when they do, it turns out that people end up in a pretty similar range. They're not exactly the same, but there's a lot of common ground appears. And one of the things they really don't like about the way Congress works, it's, well, okay, which side are you on? Okay. Sign up, volunteer, send us your money, and we'll fight for that side against the other side, right? And that really turns off a lot of people because they think that Congress should be more of a problem-solving body, and they should look for ways to integrate the values that are expressed on both sides. And turns out when you get average people, there are some people who are quite ideological and tend more toward the polar ends of the and find less common ground. But that's not the bulk of the people. The bulk of the people actually do find consensus.
We're talking to Stephen Kull, founder and president of the group Voice of the People, looking at a disconnect between the American public and their elected officials. He wants a citizens' cabinet, a cross-section of people in each district to provide advice after they get some information on key issues, and they'd give that info to members of Congress.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you think elected officials place their parties or their donors ahead of the public good? Do you think they need to hear more from the public? And what do you think of our guest's idea of a citizens' cabinet? Have you worked in government at any level? What worked and what didn't when it came to getting public input? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard, and we're continuing the conversation with Steve Kull from the group Voice of the People. He says there's a communication gap between the American people and their elected officials in Congress. He's hoping to bridge that gap, in part by creating a citizens' cabinet in each congressional district.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Do you feel like the federal government is hearing your voice? Do you think your representative in Congress does? Do you think that Congress is too polarized? And what do you think of this idea of a citizen cabinet? Do you like it? Do you have questions about how it might work? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to our callers now. Doug is with us in Three Lakes. Doug, hi.
Good afternoon. I'm listening to this issue and I'm thinking, why not just get rid of the lobbyists in our government? That would be one huge step for the people in general, and it would take out, it would eliminate all of the strong arm lobbying because of there's huge money involved in all that.
Doug, thanks a lot for that call. And going back to your survey, Stephen, a lot of people, it sounds like, might agree with Doug about frustration with the access given to lobbyists as opposed to everybody else.
Yeah, lobbyists are viewed very negatively by the American public, and they are perceived as having a lot of influence, and they are the instrument through which corporations and wealthy people do try to influence Congress. Now, we can't, because it would be a violation of freedom of speech, we can't just prevent that kind of communication from happening. What we can do is essentially create a kind of lobby for the people to give the people greater voice, and that's really what the Voice of the People is trying to do. And you can participate in that as well. If any of you, your listeners out here want to try the process, it's not limited to the people who are part of the citizen cabinet. Any citizen can go online, go through the policymaking simulation, and then ultimately make your recommendations and send them off to your member of Congress. If you just go to VOP.org and click the button that says policy making simulations, you can communicate and effectively become part of the people's lobby, saying what the people think should be done.
And we've got a link to the Voice of the People website on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go back to our callers now with Ken in Beloit. Ken, hi.
How you doing, guys? You know, I just wanted to make a comment, especially in our state of Wisconsin. It seems like our GOP leaders, they surround themselves with only their base of donors and base of people. They don't listen to the general population of people, you know, and I use Paul Ryan and Ron Johnson as examples. You know, when they campaigned around our area, the venues they went to were by invite only. It was their specific, group of donors that they surround themselves with and who they speak to. You know, you can see them guys in the union halls and at the libraries, like the Dem. I mean, I'm not gonna say they won, so they must have done something right. But when they surround themselves by only the people who agree with them, it appears that they're extremely disconnected. You know, Paul Ryan hasn't carried Janesville in years.
Ken, thanks for the call. So Ken saying, Steve, that politicians willing to surround themselves with a bubble of people who mostly agree with them.
Yeah, that's what happens, and they spend a huge amount of their time fundraising, and it isn't just the money that they get, it's just that those are the people they hear from, because that's how they're spending their time. So the idea of having a citizen cabinet is that people, they would be systematically presenting the views of the people. You think, well, if they just wanted to, they could know what people think, and we've done research on this, and they've done surveys of congressional staffers on what they think the people in their district would say in response to certain poll questions and things like that. And they're very bad at predicting correctly what their constituents have to say. So the systems in place for communication between the people and elected officials are very poor. And so that's the gap we're trying to fill here.
But if a politician does go out into possibly hostile territory or a non-controlled environment, there's the risk of, you know, a lot of protest and maybe shouting matches that for better or worse, don't give a really productive conversational environment to exchange views. Is that trying to get around with the citizen cabinet?
Yeah, and many of those cases, too. Like, there are a lot of town hall meetings where people come who are usually at the extremes. And they yell, and they yell at each other, and when you go to one of those town hall meetings, you get this impression of the public as being very polarized. But I regularly do focus groups with a small representative sample of citizens, and that it's not like that at all. The people have some differences, but they try to find common ground, and they often generally do find common ground. The more they talk, so the answer isn't necessarily to create situations where people can you know yell at each other, but to create situations where people are given enough facts, where they hear both sides of the issue. And something very interesting too to mention on this: when we present the pro and the con arguments on issues, you know, these are very strongly stated pro and con arguments that have been vetted with congressional staffers from both parties. Well, in most cases, the majority finds both sides convincing, at least somewhat convincing. So it's like people going, oh, yeah, that's a good point. Oh, yeah, that's a good point, too. And we think that's actually a good thing, because they're actually thinking, they're deliberating. That is the typical person, not this highly intense arguer, flamethrower, and those people right now feel really kind of alienated from the political system, and we're trying to create a way for them to reason and express their point of view, just like the founder said should happen. That's the reason of the people that should govern, not their passions, not their misinformation, but the conclusions they come to when they're informed and have a chance to think it through.
Ken, thanks for that call. We're talking to Steve Call from the group Voice of the People, trying to get more communication between citizens and their elected officials. So, Steve, you've got people talking. You've got these online policy sims going with randomly selected people. Are people in the nation's capital listening? Do you know if members of Congress or their staff are starting to pay attention to what you're getting from people?
Yeah, they do. We meet with staffers and give them briefings. We give briefings on the Hill and have pretty good turnouts of staffers that come. You know, all of these things take time to work their way through. The more people step forward and say, you know, listen to the people and who, you know, on their own go through the simulations, the better it is. And I think at this point, there is members of Congress are starting to, you know, with the success of both Sanders and Trump, they're starting to scratch their head and think, wow, maybe what is it that we're doing wrong? Why are people so dissatisfied? And maybe we need to respond in some ways. But they also have patterns that are difficult to break. They still tend to think that they need to take money from and raise all this money from donors, and then that tends to influence them. So, but at least there's a voice there. And what's interesting to me is that wherever I went on the Hill, whether we're talking to people on the left or the right, Republicans, Democrats, what we heard over and over goes, yeah, that's right. This is really how we ought to be doing it. So they are receptive. They do want to hear. But at the same time, it takes time for old patterns to be broken.
We'll leave it there for now. Steve, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
We've been talking to Stephen Kull. He's founder and president of the group Voice of the People. He's also director of the Program for Public Consultation at the School of Public Policy at the University of Maryland. Well, you can play the home edition of Voice of the People. You can go online to their website. We've got a link at the Central Time Facebook page. Find those policy sims that Steve was talking about. They've got a bunch of them up there on various issues. And you can go through the process that he's been talking about. Get information, basic facts about an issue, arguments from both sides, maybe more than two sides on some of those issues. And then think about it. Think about the trade-offs and what kind of decisions you might make. Share your thoughts about this idea and find a link to the Voice of the People website. You can do it all over at the Central Time Facebook page.